These are the questions like a seven, and try to find out how we can find light in the darkness. Micah 7 is the last chapter of the book, but before closing, Micah gravely delivered the very last warning from God to the Israelites. At the start of the oracle, verse 1, Micah cried out, "What misery is mine?" He lamented for Jerusalem as it was in a depraved state of social darkness. And in verse 2 to 3, Micah condemned the evildoers, rulers and those in power, as they have swept away all the faithful and upright persons on earth. And they are like briars and thorn hatchers, obstructing social righteousness and fairness, conspiring together to exploit the people and rip them off their possessions in order to fatten their own belly. And also in verse 5 to 6, Micah criticized the Israelites as they were acting like animals, hiding and ready to pounce on one another as their prey. He advised them not to trust anyone, including their parents, spouses, and children, since a man's enemies are the members of his own household. The Israelites were lived in fear every single moment, and they were stuck in absolute social darkness. Today in Canada, we also get stuck in our own social darkness. To many Canadian Chinese, especially the older generation, October 17th is a day of darkness since it marks the legalization of marijuana. Effective that day, Canadians over the age of 19 are allowed to grow, possess, and purchase marijuana in specialty stores or through the internet. Bill C-45 made Canada the second country in the whole world to legalize marijuana. I still recall from the news that morning, many Canadians were so excited that they didn't mind lining up overnight in order to be the first person to purchase legalized marijuana in the country. But others mourned. Many other Canadians, especially the Canadian Chinese parents, they were upset and declared October 17th as a sad day because their children are now more vulnerable to the harmful effects of cannabis. While it is not the most dangerous drug, many scientists believe that marijuana may have permanent impacts on brain development. And very unfortunately, their children may have access to marijuana edible products, such as cannabis cookies and candies. As a matter of fact, some children and teens in the U.S. were hospitalized or even died after eating brownies laced with marijuana. The RCMP were worried that marijuana may impair driving by slowing down the reaction time and decreasing coordination, though it may not be as significant as drunk driving. In the past 11 months, prior to legalization, many different political parties and lobby groups requested the government to reconsider or delay the decision to pass Bill C-45. A protest was held even on October 17th in downtown Vancouver, and some of us participated in it. However, all these efforts were in vain, as the Canadian government went ahead with the legalization process. Those who value Bible teaching and traditional values may feel that our society has stepped into a time of darkness, moving step by step towards destruction. First, with the legalization of same-sex marriage, and now marijuana, and the city is inflated with pornography, drug addiction, and many other social evils. Is there a way? Is there anything we can do to change our society? Are we stuck in a period of darkness? Besides social darkness, We may also have to face the darkness in our own personal life, such as broken relationships. No matter whether it is between the couple or across generations, between parents and children. Home is supposed to be a safe haven for us to rejuvenate ourselves after a hard day's work. But now it has become a battlefield full of harsh words, discontentment, and hostility. It is now a place we avoid going back. And if we have to go back, we prepare ourselves for a fight, as we fear that we will step into a war zone, on a landmine, and be blown up into a million pieces. Home has become hell on earth, a place where the darkness looms. Another darkness in life is chronic illness, either physical or mental, such as cancer, Alzheimer's, depression, or anxiety attacks. Not only is it hard for those who are ill, it also takes a toll on their caretakers and family members. Now, can you see that darkness is all around us, whether it be at the societal level or at the personal level? If so, how can we get out of the darkness? How can we find light in it? When Micah saw the Israelites were stuck in the deep social darkness and desperation, he did not give up. He cried out to the Lord for help and said, verse 7, "I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior." To watch in hope and wait for God means that we have to be sensitive to God's action and follow him closely. We need to partake in his plan. Watching here implies waiting, waiting to see what God is doing before we take any action. However, the waiting does not involve a feeling of helplessness, and quite the opposite. We should be waiting with hope and in faith. Now, can you see the difference between these two types of waiting? If we wait in helplessness, we can feel tortured, frustrated, and want to give up because we are stuck in the adverse situation with no way out. We cannot see an end in sight. The future is dark and grim, and this helplessness will turn into hopelessness. We feel like the picture there, a deflated balloon, and life sucks. We have no energy or any interest to do anything. We just let life pass by, waiting for it to end. When we feel this way, we basically have yielded to adversities. We are defeated. On the contrary, for those who wait in hope will have faith in God. They know that God is with them, and he always provides a way out. So no matter what the situation is, no matter how hard it is, they persevere because they remember what God has said to Abraham. He said, "I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you." They know that God will never forsake them, and there is light at the end of the dark tunnel. Now, have you ever played with a full-blown balloon? What happens if you pounce on it? It bounces back, right? And yeah, the harder you pounce on it, the harder it bounces back. So when we have hope in God, we are like the balloon. The Lord fills us with his strength so that when we are hit by adversities, we bounce back. And the harder we are hit, the more he will empower us to have the tenacity to forge on. We are not alone in the fight. So knowing this, even though when tough situations persist, we can remain calm and peaceful, secure in knowing that when things get tougher, God's protection will be greater. We will be victorious in the end. Do you nowadays find that we Christians easily get frustrated. Very often, we feel deflated, like the balloon that has leaked out all the air. Have you wondered why? It is because we may have forgotten God in our suffering or in our busyness. We have forgotten that God is always behind us and sometimes in front of us as our shield. Instead, we try to shoulder all the responsibilities and challenges by ourselves. This morning, God gave us these words, verse 7, is to remind us we don't need to fight the battle alone. Remember to watch and wait for Him. And what does it mean? It may mean holding our tongue when we feel that we are being attacked by others. It may mean continuing to do good, even though it may cause us inconvenience or even troubles. Or it may mean speaking God's truth, even if it may put our lives at risk. We need to focus on two things: to seek God's will and to have total trust that He will protect and He will provide a way out. And we must cast our burden on Him and trust that He will guide us to deal with the situation. Sometimes the result may not be what we expect or what we desire, but yet we still embrace it with peace, since we know that God will only give us what is best for us. When we watch and wait for God, we are actually putting on the spectacles of faith, and we will see a very different picture, just as Micah did in verse 10. With faith in God, Micah saw the Assyrians to be punished by God eventually, and they would be trampled underfoot like mire in the streets, because they cruelly destroyed the Israelites and mocked God. And the history tells us that the Assyrians were completely eliminated by the Babylonians in 621 BC. And furthermore, Micah saw an even bigger vision. Verse 11 to 12, he saw the heavenly kingdom at the final judgment day. In that day, people in the whole world, from sea to sea, from mountain to mountain, they will all go into new kingdom, where the presence of the Lord is, and there is fullness of joy. What does it tell us? It tells us that to watch and wait for God will expand our perspective. It will turn our eyes from our immediate adversities to God in heaven. And let us see that God is the one who is in control of the universe, rather than the political parties, rather than the government offices, or rather than the rich. Though the social darkness may be looming over us, just as the legalization of marijuana and homosexuality, drug addiction, or pornography, but we need to remember they are just peanuts in comparing to God's power. He can easily revert the situation and turn it into a hopeful situation. Let me give you a life story. Not my life story. In 1950s in Africa, there was a missionary who had to take care of a premature baby. The baby needs to be incubated, but the hot water bottle that was used to make the homespun incubator had burst. The baby was dying, and the missionary was in despair, as she had no other ways to save the little life. At that moment, a little girl prayed to God, asking the divine not only to send in a new hot water bottle, but also a doll for the baby as well. And everyone laughed at her, saying that, well, it was too good. It was a dream too good to be true. But on that same day, the missionary received a large parcel which was sent to them 5 months earlier from a country outside. She opened it, and in it was a new rubber hot water bottle and a doll. God knew in advance what was needed, and his timing was perfect. And God's power is so much greater than any adversities in life. And he will listen to our prayer and can easily change darkness and despair into light and hope. Now, I think some of you right now may think that God does not always grant us what we pray for, especially when the Bible says that the world will become so depraved at end times that things will turn upside down. The black becomes white, right becomes wrong, and vice versa. What is happening right now in Canada or in the whole world, together with the calamities around the world, for example, the fire in California, they are only in fulfillment of the end time prophecies. Hence, there is nothing we can do to change it, since it is God's plan. So we may think that there's no point of praying for it. Yes, it is true to say that there's no one in the world that can change God's will. But if we believe that all these evils are moving us step by step toward the final destruction of the universe, then we should have peace and joy while we wait for that day to come. Because we know for sure that after the end times comes the new heaven and new earth. And we believers will be raptured into the heaven to be with God in eternity. Isn't that much better? But during this waiting period, before Christ's return, we need to live like the full-blown balloon filled with God's power. We need to share the gospel so that our family members, relatives, and friends will have the eternal life. And the Bible says, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." We need to take the good news from church to home and from home to school and to the office. As in Noah's time, we pray for more and more people to enter in the Noah's Ark and be saved. So if we focus on him, we can live seriously with hope and energy despite the adversities. And furthermore, watching and waiting for God will also change our perception. We will no longer see the adversities as enemies who attack us. Instead, we will look at them as God-sent agents to train us up to be the warrior of faith. Their attacks upon us are to build up our faith muscle and intensify our trust in God. It is like doing exercise in the gym to lift weights in order to build our muscles. And each blow in the adversities challenges our faith, putting us to the test and questioning us. Is it worth it for us to continue to trust this God that we follow? And if we rise to the challenge and learn to wait and watch for God, all the adversities will turn into blessings for us because they compel us to be closer to God as we pray harder, asking for his help. As we do that, we will experience his presence, and we can actually see God in the darkness. And in verse 8 to 9, God promised the Israelites to be their light and would bring them out in his light of righteousness. Today, God also promises us to be the light in our darkness. With his true light, our lives will be full of hope. Even as we struggle with life challenges, we no longer live in darkness because hope prevails. And the Bible tells us that we will be victorious, for Christ our Lord has risen and won over death and sin. He is the light in our darkness. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us that you are the light in our darkness. When we are stuck in our challenges, you will provide us a way out. When we get frustrated in the adversities, you lift us on high. We thank you for all your love for us. May you grant us the humble hearts to enable us to watch and wait for you. May our life glorify your name. We ask all this in your name. Amen.